Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Animation. I have to apologize before I get started on the show here. I kind of hurt my knee. I don't know how that happened since about last night of this recording, of course. My knee started to just kind of swell up, and I don't know why. But it's funny because the whole day I was at work and I was sitting down, and I did very, very, very little walking. And then I did a little bit of running when I got home to get some energy, some energy out of me, sort of thing. You know, you get kind of all that pent up. You know what I'm saying. So I went for a little jog, and then I came back, and then late night before I went to bed to get some sleep here, my knee started swelling up. I woke up, and it's still swollen, and it's swollen to the point where it's almost like it's real awkward. I didn't hurt it because, I think I would remember twisting my knee or bashing it or something like that, because that kind of hurts. But no, I have no idea. I think it might be something like maybe I got bit by a spider. So anyway, I told you that story just so you know that if you hear any weird grunts in the middle of my recording, it's probably because I hurt myself or something. So with that in mind, let's get going on the episode. Been a little while since I did a episode. I did that 3 Japanophile Productions New Jabez tribute, which took forever to get out. And it's not like I haven't been recording. It's actually quite the opposite. I've been recording a lot more. I did an episode with the SSAA podcast. Thanks, Doc, for letting me be on your show there. And I've been recording this huge episode where I'm interviewing a lot of people, a lot of friends, and hopefully some industry guests. I have yet to speak to some of them and see if I can get them on the podcast. And then I was doing a 3 Japanophile Productions episode. We were doing an anime of the year because, the way we do it is we like to go from spring to spring. So it was new spring season. We recorded it back then. But, yeah, audio problems was not salvageable. So now I kind of have to go back and re-record that. So it's not like I haven't been recording, and it's not like I've been lazy and haven't tried to get anything out to you. It's just I don't have all the pieces, or pieces have been deleted or missing, or I'm just saying I have been recording stuff, so don't get too mad at me. So I do have some stuff going on here. Let's see. Let's do the news like I usually do. Last thing I remember is we got Evangelion's coming out pretty soon. It's coming out this month. The 26th, which I'm very excited for. I've been waiting a long time to watch this movie in good quality, so by the time it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, I'll be very, very happy. Then there's, Dragon Ball Kai is coming out this month as well on TV. Kakashi is going to be airing on Adult Swim as well on TV. And, oh, yes. Now, I know everyone's going to hate me because I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Carl Mazik or something like that. I'm so sorry. I should look this up. But as for now, they're a very important man in the industry has passed away, and I can't say I respected him as much as I did Nujabes, although he did some very important work, and we'll miss him dearly, I guess, even though I never knew him. You know, I don't mean to seem like a jerk, it's just kind of hard to say, oh my goodness, he's dead, when I really didn't know about him until he died. You know what I mean? So, I guess that just chalks me up to be that much more of an amateur fan. Let's see. Other than that, what else has been going on? I've been listening to the new Friday Ace podcast that's put out by Otaku USA, the website, not the magazine, because, you know, audio podcast doesn't work well on a printed magazine. But it's been pretty good. I've been enjoying it, and I've been listening to a lot of new Japanese bands. In particular, I picked up Jam Project again, and, you know, some new stuff from Arashi and such. But there's a lot of good stuff in there, and just in general, if you want to keep up on what's going on weekly in Japan, then definitely check on the Friday Ace podcast. That's definitely worth it. So, other than that, I don't really have much in the way of news. Sorry, guys. I figure if you want to know the news, just go on to ANN. There's nothing that has really warranted my attention. I mean, yeah, I might write about it or talk about it a little bit online, but seeing how this is my podcast and I really don't have any thoughts on anything, you're kind of going to have to stick with what you got here. I do have a review, however, and since the news was so short, I don't think I'll split this into separate segments. I just finally finished Inuyasha Final Act, or Kenketsu Hen. And I know I already did an Inuyasha episode where I reviewed the manga and a little bit of the anime, and maybe I touched on the movies, I don't remember. But I want to talk about this final series, and hopefully this will be the final. I don't want to see like another... I don't want to see a Dragon Ball GT of Inuyasha. That would just be horrible. But let's see. Kenketsu Hen, my thoughts. I liked it, actually. I liked it a lot more than the original Inuyasha series. Well, parts of the Inuyasha series, to be fair. Because the original Inuyasha, like the first couple episodes and stuff, or I could say maybe even the first three seasons, I really enjoyed. But, you know, once it kind of hit the part of the manga where Rumiko Takahashi was just kind of making stuff up, I said, nah, my love for the anime kind of died a little bit. I loved the movies. I saw movie 1 and 2. I have yet to see all of 3. I've watched parts of 3, and I have not seen 4. But I love movie 1. Movie 1 is just awesome. And I don't care if people come and say, oh my goodness, you're a furry lover because you're gay and crap and you like Inuyasha. I actually like that first movie. Fine, pick on me. It's a good movie. That's my opinion. Take it as it is. But Inuyasha Kenketsu Hen was actually fairly decent. And why was it fairly decent? Well, because it didn't, you know, had a set amount of story to tell, so they paced it properly. Then, well, semi-properly. They could have done things a little differently, especially with those last, like, 6 episodes. But I'll talk about that later. And, of course, that part of the manga is, like, part of my favorite. Or is my favorite part of the manga. Because it deals a lot with Susomaru and his sword and stuff. And, like, even though Rumiko Takahashi may have been making stuff up, I still always loved what she did with Susomaru as a character. So, yeah, call me a Susomaru fanboy. Okay, fine. I can deal with that. I'm not going to go like, oh my goodness, it's Susomaru. But let's just put it this way. Inuyasha is kind of like Naruto. Whenever Naruto's on screen, nothing great happens. Everyone else does something way cooler than what Naruto does. And I guess that's not completely fair to say about Inuyasha because, you know, he has some kind of neat powers with his sword, but things just start getting ridiculous after a while and I stop paying attention. So, yeah. It picks up and I think it finishes the story of the last 20 odd volumes of the manga, something like that. And first I want to talk about the pacing because that was a real issue for me. In some spots it was very, very well paced, and others, like I mentioned with those last 6 odd episodes or something like that, the pacing was not so great. And what do I mean by that? Well, at the end of the manga, now this is going to be spoilers. If you haven't already listened to my first Inuyasha episode, which I'm sure was spoilerific, this will be spoilerific as well. At the end, Naraku gets this huge body, basically like a Death Star, and it's hovering everywhere and crap, and everyone goes inside of it to fight the quote-unquote real Naraku, the humanish form. And that whole part of the manga, yeah, it took up maybe a couple of volumes, but that ended up taking up almost a whole fourth of the series. Now, I understand if you want to try and expound. I mean, this is the, you know, final part of Inuyasha. You know, the very end. And I understand if you want to kind of drag that on a little bit. You know, to kind of not make your money worth, but I mean, just to make it seem like it is the end. You know what I'm trying to say? But at the same time, it started feeling dismal to see a black background all of the time. Now, you may be giggling and saying, well, isn't that the case with Inuyasha all the time? Well, yes and no, but even if that is the case, you know, seeing a bright background every once in a while was still nice and refreshing. And, like, inside Naraku, there's nothing but dark purples and browns and black. So, needless to say, it got real boring really quick. I mean, even in episode, like, 15 or 16, when Inuyasha was fighting with Shishomaru, and they were going through different dimensions. It was Tensaiga versus the Tetsaiga. I don't remember exactly what happened. It's been a while since I watched it. But even with that, there were still different colors, you know. I think there were some oranges in there, maybe a little bit of red. You get what I'm saying? It just, I don't think people really pay attention as to what can make an anime boring so much. And I want to say background colors can really make it boring. Like, what on screen, what is happening can be interesting and can be, you know, great. You can say, wow, I really enjoyed that, but, like, that was half my problem with Shin Getter Robo, is that a lot of the time, all the backgrounds are just, like, this purple-black, and I really can't get used to that, you know what I mean? Sure, it's one thing if the anime is taking place at night all the time, but even then, sometimes you have locations that are indoors. You know, I understand that when it's nighttime, it's dark, period. And if something can only happen at night, then it's always going to be dark, but there are still ways you can make it seem bright. Like, it doesn't have to be a dark purple. You can have a perfectly normal black with a little bit of a lighter, I guess lighter may be the wrong word, but you can have kind of like stars or something, you know what I mean? You can use purple as an abstract color to the black to kind of prove that there is something besides this giant dark mass above my head, that there actually is a sky and there is light from the moon and that sort of thing. But I don't know, it's just like the background colors really kind of killed me, especially with those last six episodes. Everything else was pretty much okay, but I mean, yeah, they weren't noticeable, so I guess they did their job, if I can't nitpick about them. But if I remember correctly, they got the whole entire original cast back for Kinketsuhan, and that was great. I liked that. And, you know, I'm not a very big guy when it comes to Japanese voice actors, so I can't say, well, this guy. But I liked the Japanese voice for Inuyasha. And I do like Greg Cox doing the English voice as well. I think it's a pretty good match. But, yeah, every once in a while it gets... I can't say every once in a while. It gets really annoying to hear, Kakume! 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 You know, it just... Dude, okay, we understand. You want Kagome and crap, but you don't need to sit there and yell it in every sentence. I know in Japanese that you use the person's name instead of, you know, to be polite or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But, I mean, like, dude, that is really annoying to hear Kagome, 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 and vice versa. With, you know, when you were with Kagome, it was Inuyasha, 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 Inuyasha. Ugh. It's like a freaking tongue twister. But and that was a problem with the original series too. Really, that's nothing new. It was still a big problem, and that's why Adult Swim did that whole little promo for them, where all they are doing is yelling, each other's name. But I have to say, it reminded me of Gundam Wing, where it's like, Hiro, Lina, Hiro. Yeah, it just... Oh my gosh, it was horrible. You could play a drinking game, you know? And you could get drunk within the first 5 minutes, you know, and not be able to even pick up the bottle after that. That's how bad it is. So besides that, I guess I should talk about the actual story, which I don't remember a whole lot of. They covered Inuyasha getting... Let's see, he already had the red to Saiga by then. They covered him getting the dragon scale to Saiga. And, like, honestly, that, I think, is the biggest flaw... Well, not the biggest. is one of the biggest flaws in Inuyasha was the dragon scale to Saiga. They used it for a while, and it seemed like a great idea. And then it kind of just, like, disappears. He never uses it ever again. He uses the, what was it? Kongo Suha, or something like that. The spikes that fly out of his sword. You know, he uses that more than he used the dragon scale to Saiga. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, let's spend 4 or 5 episodes using this and then completely forget about it. Well, sounds good to me. I mean, in all fairness, yes, it did allow him to do some important things, in which case he was able to get a more powerful sword, and, you know, once he got a more powerful sword, why use the weaker one? But, come on, he even still used Windscar, or Kaze no Kizu, and still used the Backlash Wave, although that was considerably less, but... You know, and that's something I didn't understand either. Like, why didn't he just use the Backlash Wave on everything? It's like, hi, I'm extremely more powerful than you. I shoot my energy beam. And he's like, Inuyasha sits there and tries to cut it up. It's like, dude, just use Backlash Wave. Because then it adds whatever strength you have to that attack, and I'm gonna pretty much guarantee that whatever attack your opponent is using against you, if they're using their full strength, now, if they're using their full strength, will probably come back to them and be able to hurt them. You know, that's pretty much how manga works. If I punch you with all my strength, my punch can still hurt me, sort of thing. So, with that logic, Inuyasha should be able to beat anyone in any manga, period. Unless they're super fast. You know? Or have sacred arrows. Or wind tunnels. Or are friends. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like... If you a weapon like the Backlash Wave is just so incredibly powerful, just freaking use it. It's like... I am Minomaru, or whatever the guy's name was. I have an impenetrable body. You cannot hurt me. And they had to use the dragon scale to Saiga to, like, look at the aura swirls of yokai or yoki or whatever and cut those open so now I can hurt you. But it's like, dude, just wait till he attacks you. Backlash wave. He dies. Done. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so besides the dragon scale to Saiga, then you had the, what do they call it? The Tasaiga that can shoot the little diamond things. I forget what it's called. But yeah, it shoots the Kongo Suha, or I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. It shoots the spikes. And that one was used a lot more than, like, Windscar and, as I mentioned, Backlash Wave. You know, it kind of took the place of the Dragon Scale Tasaiga. Which, I have to... say it's kind of cool. Instead of your sword shooting out a laser beam or something like energy, it shot out like almost like darts or other spears of really hard diamond or something. And yes, I said really hard diamond because it's supposed to be demonic diamond that's harder than regular diamonds or something. I don't remember. But yeah, you know, and that just seems a little bit more legitimate than like Link where he slashes and an energy beam comes out. Yeah, that's a video game. Yeah, and you also capture bees, and bees will hurt bosses. But I'm just saying... Yeah, I'm just saying. So, instead of having, like, all this BS... Whoops. Crap. Just turned my monitor off. I thought for a minute I stopped recording, now I gotta plug my monitor back in. Alright. Technical difficulties averted, folks. So yeah, instead of, like... using all the... He just kept using the same sword power, which really got annoying. And then, of course, here is the biggest part. So Sesshomaru's sword, the Tensega, unlocks its own power or something like that. And Sesshomaru ends up getting another power with the Tensega. For those of you who don't remember, Tensega is the sword that cannot cut living things. It can kill things like evil spirits or things not of this world, basically. If it comes from this world, it can't be cut. If it comes from another world, then you can pretty much get rid of it. It's a sword that can, quote-unquote, save 1,000 lives, where Tessaiga can kill 1,000 lives in one swing. So, eventually, he unlocks the Meido Zangetsuha, which is this, once it's fully developed, of course, is the sphere that leads a direct path to the underworld. Now, when Sesshomaru first gets it, it's a crescent shape. So, you're thinking, oh, that's not really neat or practical, but just wait. When I think it's actually more practical as this little crescent shape than this giant hole, but whatever. You know, you walk up to a dude and you just slash your sword, and then this crescent comes out, whoosh, cuts him in half, and now they're dead. Because, well, it doesn't cut them in half, it sucks half of them up. Like, if you really think about it, that'd be kind of funny, you know, like, oh crap, the dog pooped on the carpet. Now it's gone to the underworld. But, yeah, I mean, and why do I say that's more practical? What you would think, well, having a bigger, you know, sphere would take more person, and that would be more practical. Except for the fact Sesshomaru ends up meeting the guy who invented the technique, and it turns out that Inuyasha and Sesshomaru's father stole the technique from that dude, or whatever. And they end up fighting in the mountains, where they send, like, a bunch of Meido Zangetsuha balls at each other. And, like, it just starts absorbing parts of the mountain, leaving these circular, not holes, but, like, circular cutouts. And it just starts, everything just starts looking like Swiss cheese. And so the reason I say the other one was more practical, because at least you can walk into a town and just go, whew, and then not have to worry about absorbing everyone. Of course, if you're Sesshomaru, then I guess you don't have to worry about it anyway. But back to the story. Sesshomaru gets that power. He fights the dude I mentioned who invented the technique. Gets pissed off. In process, unlocks the true power of his ability? No, never. So he does that. And it becomes this huge moon shape, right? It's supposed to be the shape of the moon. And other stuff happens that really doesn't have much effect on the story. And sooner or later, he ends up fighting Inuyasha because he feels like his father abandoned him and he didn't get the rightful birthright and blah, 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 blah. So they end up fighting. And if you find out that Inuyasha's sword, the Tessaiga, was actually meant to absorb the Tensaiga as soon as Sesshomaru developed the Meido Zangetsuha. And so Sesshomaru kind of doesn't go emo, but I guess it, you know, like, that was the closest emo he ever got, where he's like, Dad never loves me. He never gave me a power for my sword. He only gave it to Inuyasha, who's only a half-demon. That bastard, I hate him. You know, and for that part, I was like, come on, you're Sesshomaru. You don't give a crap about anything. I know he respects his father and his mother. Not Inuyasha's mother, but his own mother. To a point where he's like, okay, yeah. But at the same time, he is like a cold-hard bitch and doesn't really care about anyone else. I mean, yes, he does care about Rin. But, you know, my point I'm trying to make here is, like, if you don't care so much, why do you suddenly care now that you don't have a special power that your dad gave you? To me, it would seem more realistic for Sesshomaru to just say, well, I'll make my own power or something. But, sooner or later, Sesshomaru does get his own power called the Bakusaiga, or the Bakusaiga. I just go Bakusaiga. And that has a really unique power. Whenever it slashes something, it creates like this energy that goes and destroys the rest of it. So like if I chopped you just slightly on your pinky, this energy would come through the sword into you and instantly would start breaking you down, like as if you were, I don't know, rotting at super fast speed or something. You start falling apart. And that's kind of cool because when you think about Naraku, who Inuyasha cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts, and then he just comes back together. One slash with a Bakusaiga, and then now Naraku can't reform, because if he reforms with a piece of flesh that's been touched or tainted with the Bakusaiga's energy, then it starts to break him down. so thus it effectively kills anything that tries to regenerate, or anything that is super big, because you just go, whoosh, and then the energy does the rest. Oh, and Shishamaru gets his arm back. So, yeah, the Tetsaiga ends up absorbing the Tensaiga's powers, all except for the one that heals everyone. So thus, Inuyasha gets the Meido Zangetsuha, the Black Tetsaiga. And for a very long time, Inuyasha uses it as a giant sphere, just like Shishomaru did. But towards the end of the series, I want to say the second or third episode to the end, he finally develops the technique to a point where it suits his style, and he slashes, and a bunch of other slashes come out and just go crazy and absorb, you know, or suck little parts into the underworld and stuff. And I have to say, that is even less practical than Shishomaru's, because at least you can control Shishomaru's giant sphere and where it goes, and says, okay, it's only going to go in a straight path. And Inuyasha's, you go, whew, and then goes freaking batshit insane. So, yeah, practical? I think not. But, yeah, that was probably my favorite part of the whole series. And then it goes on to, you know, we're going to go kill Naraku. Hurrah, hurrah. And then you get introduced to this character. Actually, he was prominent before Shishomaru gets his Meido Zangetsuha, and that would be Byakuya of the Dreams, or Byakuya no Mugen, or something like that. And that guy, I never understood completely in the manga, nor do I in the anime. He's supposed to be like this incarnation of Naraku, but he never acts like any other incarnation that Naraku's had. All the other incarnations have been very subjective to Naraku, and have always tried to either benefit him or backstab him, where Byakuya kind of does his own thing. I mean, yeah, he's benefiting Naraku, but he doesn't seem like he's submissive to him in the least. It seems like he's a separate entity, like he's not part of Naraku at all. But he is, somehow. And I never quite understood if, you know, Rumiko Takahashi just got lazy when creating him and said, yeah, he's just there, he does stuff. You know, if he was just a character to move the plot in a certain angle, or if he was actually intended to be different, or what have you. I have no idea. I feel like I'm trying to decode Evangelion here. You know, doesn't make a lot of sense. But, yeah, I never liked his character anyway, and his powers were always really queer. Like, oh, I float on a paper swan. That's nothing like Kaguya, and she floats on a feather. It just, like, his powers were just dumb. It's like Takahashi said, okay, well, I don't want my characters to be able to do this, or I don't want my readers to say, do this character, why didn't you do that? So I'll give him this power just to stop them in this situation. You get what I'm saying? It just got to the point where nothing was believable with him, or nothing was believable at all with Inuyasha. But yeah, I don't like that character, because it seemed like he was just created and forgotten about, and kind of brought in whenever she needed something to get done. So, yeah. But he's the last incarnation of Naraku, which I think I kind of appreciate in its own respect. The ending? How is the ending? Well, I don't remember the ending of the manga that well, though I know that the anime and manga match up fairly consistently, because slight spoilers if anyone cares, Kagome does go back in time to live with Inuyasha forever after she graduates high school, of course, because during Kenketsuhen, or the final parts of Inuyasha, she finally gets to high school, and then after they beat Naraku, 3 years pass in which both Inuyasha and Kagome aren't able to go through the well of the bone eater, or whatever, the well of time. And sooner or later, Kagome's like, I just want to see Inuyasha, and boom, she goes through, stays there the rest of her life, and everyone in her family is just so happy because she's gone and we'll never see her again, and she'll technically live in the past, which will technically screw up our future. Yeah, that was a real responsible decision. Thank you, Kagome. You're really thinking, like you did through the whole entire series. Well, you know, I mean, I could draw a picture and paint of of what Kagome thinks. She, you know, draw Kagome here in the corner, throw an arrow at it, and then want to be with Inuyasha. Two thoughts. That's it. I mean, yeah, Kagome, you're a pretty complex character there. You get pissed off at Kikyo because she likes Inuyasha too, but yet I get pissed off at you because you can't think worth beans. You're dumb as a bag of bricks. And sometimes that's good for a woman to be dumb as a bag of bricks. But in this case, when you're supposed to be saving the world, it doesn't quite work out that way. Anyway, if anyone else wants to know, mega spoilers, yes, Kagome and Inuyasha kiss for official. This is not something like in the movie where that was just created to make fangirls squeal. They actually do it at the end of the manga, and by do it, I mean kiss, because I don't want people saying,
that's funny, Josh.
And the Shikon Jewel has a special wish, and let me explain a little bit. The Shikon Jewel exists because people keep making this wrong wish. It keeps existing to satisfy people's wants and desires. So that's why the Shikon Jewel is neither good nor bad, is because a good person can make a good wish, and a bad person can make a bad wish, blah, 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 blah. It's pretty much neutral. And because it has the power of both good and evil that makes it neutral, it can act on both. Hence, when Naraku had it, it was, what was the word? Defiled or something like that. And thus, when the good guys had it, it was purified. So the holder does influence on which side the jewel does prominently act on. But at the very end, Kagome gets to make a wish on the completed Shikon jewel, and I can't say this is very clever at all, but she remembers, oh, if I make a special wish, then the jewel disappears forever. And, like, this is the biggest plot hole in Inuyasha here. She manages to figure out that the wish, now again, spoilers, is that she wishes the Shikon jewel didn't exist. Makes sense, right? Eh, okay, I can buy that. However, if Kikyo said, burn the jewel with my body because I don't want it to ever be here again, why didn't she, I mean, she was guardian of the jewel. Shouldn't she have known what the right wish was? I mean, wouldn't it seem a little realistic for her to know that all she needed to do was wish that the jewel didn't exist and that would be it? I mean, yeah, it might make for a little bit of a lackluster story, but at least it wouldn't have a big plot hole in it. I mean, for crying out loud. You guys have to forgive me. I feel like I'm not as fiery as I usually am. You know, I kind of got a hurt knee here. Trying not to do solid snake grunts like, this hurts. And you might notice my voice might be a little deeper. It's because, well, I've been talking like this all day. There's no reason for me to talk to other people. So I'm going to talk to myself and record it, see what you guys think. So, yeah, Inuyasha, Kenketsuhen, overall, like I said, I liked it. But should I like it? No, probably not, but I did. So, can I give it a proper rating? Maybe not, because I guess I am an Inuyasha sucker or something, you know? I've read all the manga, watched both anime series now, most of the movies. I mean, I literally only have like two more movies done, and then I'll be done with the series forever. And I have to admit, like, there's a bittersweetness to the end of the last episode. Because, like, I've been pretty much watching this series since I've been an anime fan. Like, that was since the beginning of my anime fandom. I saw the first episode, ironically. And, you know, I've been watching it up until now. I mean, maybe not all the time, you know, but I mean, little spurts here and there. I've been watching a little bit of Inuyasha, you know. So it's kind of followed me throughout my fandom. So, you know, is it nostalgic for me? Yes, it is actually. You know, watching it late at night on Adult Swim, you know, followed by Full Metal Alchemist and Cowboy Bebop or what have you, you know, it was very nostalgic for me. The same time, I was glad to see it go because I couldn't take anymore, but I was sad too because, you know, that means it'll never be new. I'll always be watching a rerun. And to some extent, and you know, it's like reading the Harry Potter books. Yeah, I wanted to have an ending because I was sick of freaking reading, having to read a book all of the time. But you know, even having to say that, I have to be fair, you still, the whole reason you stuck with it is because you wanted to see it through. You wanted more. And now that you're kind of denied that, you kind of start to miss it. So, I mean, I'm not crying over not having any Yasha by any means. But, like, I wouldn't completely complain if they came out with a movie after this. You know, I could deal with that. In fact, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to kill me, but I could deal with having, like, I don't want Inuyasha to be Lupin the Third by any means, but I could deal with maybe like a TV special, an hour TV special every 2-3 years or something, you know, and that would be enough for me, so that way I wouldn't be like, oh, more Inuyasha. But at the same time, you know, I would have a little bit here and there if I ever, you know, felt like I wanted to watch something. So yeah, if I guess I had to give this a rating, I don't even know if I remember my old rating system anymore. Maybe I should post that. I just got done fixing up my blog spot. Maybe I should post the ratings on there, but yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll just give it a number to make things simple. I give it a 7, 7.5, maybe an 8. 7.5. So, I mean, if you liked Inuyasha, you'll definitely love this. If you want to just stop and kind of say, I need to see some Inuyasha, I don't recommend this. I recommend you watching probably the beginning of the series as... No, just, not the movie, just the beginning of the series. However, if you're an Inuyasha fan who's kind of watched most of the first series and you've seen like all the movies and read some of the manga, you know, you're not going to be missing a whole lot by picking up right with the series. I mean, yeah, you might miss a little plot detail here or there, but they recap a lot of the stuff for you because I guess fans are stupid. They can't keep up with something that comes out weekly. But yeah, I mean, if you feel like you understand the series, then you'll probably have a pretty firm grasp and you can do with this. If you don't, then watching this I don't recommend it. I don't want to say it would not be a good choice, because I'm sure some person could watch this and say, yeah, it's a great series just by seeing, you know, the last 26 episodes or what have you. But yeah, well, that's all they've got. So now I'm going to take a quick break, play some promos, and I guess I'm going to put some ice on my knee and record the next part.
You must construct additional pylons.
In a world where vivid flashbacks can strike without warning. In a world where a submissive adolescent must pilot a giant humanoid robot to save humanity. In the same world where a two-legged quadruped can run leisurely at the speed of sound with the aid of jewelry. Only one podcast can discuss this with their sanity intact. And this is Not That Podcast. www.ssapodcast.com. The Ass Backwards Anime Podcast. Oh wait, I was supposed to use that voice in the beginning. Let's go again.
Alright, so, I'm back now. And, if any of you are wondering, yes, the knee is getting a little better. It's still kind of rigid and such, but at least now it doesn't hurt so much to move it, that sort of thing. Let's see, so I guess I'll talk about now what I've been reading and watching, and that is probably going to take up a lot of time, as it always does, and I want to say rightfully so, but anyway, let's see, with this new season I've been watching Hero Man, let's start with that, and Hero Man I should hate, for all intents and purposes, I should really hate that show, but I don't, it feels like an old cheesy 50s comic book sort of thing. You know, good guy always wins, you never have to worry about him getting in danger or getting hurt, and yeah. Stan Lee made it, and I was really, really, like, scared, because Ultimo, you know, is another thing that Stan Lee made, and that turned to utter crap, or always was utter crap. And with Hero Man, I was kind of afraid the same thing was going to happen, but for some odd reason, it all works, and it's, like, charming. I really, really like the character designs. Like, Joey's character design, great. And the colors. And, what's the girl's name? She's not important. I don't remember her name. But most of the characters, you know, look pretty good. Although, I could easily make fun of that show. I mean, just the first episode. Like, okay. So, the kid gets beat up. The main character, Joey. He's starting to get bullied by some bullies. What else? And all of a sudden, the handicapped kid, the kid who can't even use his legs, has to come and save him. How lame do you have to be rescued by a handicapped boy? Now, okay, I don't mean that to disrespect handicapped people. But I mean, come on, the guy can't even defend himself. He's got crutches, for crying out loud. He's got a gay hairdo, and he looks stupid. And he has to come and save you? Wow. You really do need a robot. And then, of course, when he gets his robot, he puts it together because he's so smart. And then it gets zapped by lightning, bringing it to life. So, if that doesn't instantly strike you as a retelling of the Frankenstein story, I don't know what will. But, yeah, at least we know how Toy Story, started. Woody was sitting around one day, and all his cottony goodness, and zap! Oh! I'm alive. Hey, Andy, look! I'm a real boy! Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond! I got zapped by lightning, so now I'm alive! You know, I was like, what the hell, man? I was like, now we know the backstory to Toy Story, for crying out frame loud. And then, of course, he gets this glove, and this glove tells Hero Man what to do. And Hero Man is a giant robot. Or big robot. Not giant, but he's bigger than, most people. And, yeah, that thing, it looks gay. It's like the Nintendo Power Glove. There's only one button that does anything. Oh, wait. The Nintendo Power Glove doesn't do anything. Doesn't work. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. Like, there's so much you can make fun of Hero Man, but it's like, because of those factors, you're kind of, like, laughing, like, oh, goodness gracious. And then you just kind of go with it. And, it's kind of nice. I can't say I, deeply enjoy it or anything, but... Oh, excuse me. I can't say I deeply enjoy it or anything, but, it's okay. Let's see here. Next, I've been watching Rainbow, and... Oh, good Lord, Rainbow. It's about a bunch of kids who got thrown in prison because they all did something, wrong. They broke the law in some way, form, or another. So when they got thrown in prison, this is, of course, taking place back in Japan, 1950s, after the end of World War II. And, there's this one part, and in the very beginning it says, warning, this is going to be very graphic, and we feel that we need to keep this stuff in here, because otherwise, we wouldn't get the message across. And I'm going, okay, so is this going to be like Berserk? Because I don't need a warning to read that, I just understand. Well, halfway through, prisoners need to get checked for, concealed weapons, in all their cavities. So, the doctor checks all their cavities, and, they scream when one of them gets checked. Wham! I got a glass pole shoved up my ass! Yeah, well, get used to it, kid, because I tell you what, that's only preparing you for what really happens in prison, especially when you got a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little kid who can't defend himself. What do you think's gonna happen? Do you think he's gonna make friends? Oh, he's gonna make a lot of friends. I tell you what, he's going to be the friendly one, not them. Anyway. Yeah, I'm not crazy about Rainbow. Like, I'm only on episode 2. I only finished episode 1. I got episode 2 to watch, and I'm thinking of dropping that one. Not sticking with it. Then, of course, we got Durarara, and that's actually really, really good. A lot of people were complaining about the new opening and ending. The ending, I can get used to that. I like the new opening, though. I think it really suits, it really gets me in the mood to watch Do-da-da-da. Yeah, sure, it's not like, blow out loud, or whatever, But I'm just saying, the first one was like, okay, yeah, this show's gonna be awesome and cool. And this now, this new opening is much more serious, and really sets a tone. It's pretty good. Another one I thought I was gonna hate, but I turned out kind of intrigued by every time I watch it is Angel Beats. And Angel Beats is all about this guy who dies, and when he comes back to life, he meets a girl who's trying to shoot another little girl who's younger than her. And if that doesn't sound like a good anime, I don't know what is. Of course, they're all moe, so that kind of like, eh. And the main chick, even though she has purple hair, kind of looks like Haruhi. And it's kind of disorienting, really, but yeah. It's, so far it's been okay, but that's all I can say about it. I mean, it's got me intrigued enough that I'm checking in for next episode and say, well, is this going to turn really good or really bad? You know what I mean? I'm interested enough that I'm willing to balance on the knife, and if it gets bad, I'll drop it. If it gets good, then, you know, I'll be happy to stick with it. But for right now, I guess I'm kind of stuck waiting for something to happen. If it doesn't get good by, like, episode 6, I'm just going to drop it. You know, 6 episodes to get started, it's too much. Katana Gatari. I haven't seen any new Katana Gatari, so can't really talk about that. Although the last 3 episodes have been fairly decent. Not been as amazing as Bakemonogatari, but I'm enjoying it in the very least. Let's see. We got Arakawa Under the Bridge. I watched the first 2 episodes, and it's got that really, really dry humor. And I can get used to it. Sure, that doesn't sound too reassuring when you're talking about an anime like you're spending your time to watch, but I want to like this show because I know, you know, it has the same director as Bakemonogatari, which I so dearly love, and it's done by this isn't done by Shaft again, is it? No, it's done. Oh God, who did Arakawa? I'm sure everyone is screaming at me like, who did it? As they listen to this podcast, but right now, off the top of my head, I don't know. A1 Pictures, maybe? No, it's a lesser known, like, Silver Fox? No, that's Katana Gatari. Anyway, yeah, I'm not really sure as to who's doing Arakawa Under the Bridge, but it's decent enough, I'll suggest it. Let's see. That's really all the new stuff I've been keeping. Oh, I need to watch Senko no Night Raid. I haven't even tried that. I mean, I took a little look at it here and there, you know, like I skipped through it, saw certain parts, and nothing really piqued my interest. Like, I had to stop and really check it out. But I've been meaning to watch it, you know. I also checked out the first episode of Razavon, because I was kind of looking. I just finished a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, rewatching the Evangelion series, and then watching Evangelion 1.01 and 1.11, so I can officially say I've seen 1.0, 1.01, and 1.11. I've seen all 3 versions. So after watching that, I was kind of in the mood for more of, like, an Evangelion clone, you know. And it's like, how can I get more Evangelion? Well, I kind of have to go with an Evangelion clone, because I'm not reading the manga. So I heard Razavon is kind of clonish, which, after watching the first episode, it was good, and I don't think it's like a clone at all. So, I mean, when I get the chance, I will watch Razavon, but it's not enough to set a priority. I've been meaning to try and watch Gundam 0083, but I just haven't gotten around to that. I got like 2 episodes sitting for me to watch. Shin Gatarobo is still on hold. Gundam 00 is still on hold. You know, it's just like Gundam 00 turned to crap, and I really don't feel like picking it back up to watch. I did start watching Slayers, the original series, and I'm not going to talk about that a whole lot because I'm watching it together with Josh on the 3 Japanophile Productions, or Spiral X Warriors, you guys may know him. So I'll save that and watch that with him, talk about that with him. I am on episode 6, however, of Macross 7, and how is Macross 7? Well, it's kind of interesting. I'm only on episode 4? Let's see. Yes, only on episode 4. I'm sorry. I'm only on episode 4. I've got 2 more queued to watch. It's okay. Like, it gets really crazy. Really, really crazy. Where, like, people are fighting, and he's like, "Stop! This fighting makes no sense! Listen to my song!" What? We're killing each other. Yes, I know. Stop that. Now listen to my song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
How I wonder what you are. Up above the skies.
Anyway, you get my point. You know, it's like, come on, man. We're in the middle of a war here. And you're going,
little star.
You know, what the hell? It's crazy and it's funny, but like I can't recommend this. If you want to watch it, you have to have a desire to see more Matt Gross to really watch this. I'm not going to say, wow, this is a great show, go check it out, because it's really not. It's really pretty bad. I mean, it's like a lot of mech shows are ridiculous. Like Gurren Lagann's ridiculous, and you like it because it's ridiculous. Matt Gross 7 is ridiculous, but yet it takes itself seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I guess you could argue Gurren Lagann did, but I would say Gurren Lagann didn't take itself seriously. I mean, for crying out loud, it's like they're fighting Viral, and Kamina grabs Simone with a drill and sticks him on top, and it's like crooked and crap, and it's almost killed Kamina because the drill is right next to his face, and he's like, look, we got two heads too. You know, I don't think it took itself seriously. Not at, you know, at least not like Matt Gross 7 does. Anyway. I'm also getting... I want to start watching Space Battleship Yamato. I've got like the first season of that, and... You know, kind of holding off on it for now. Because, you know, I got Slayers and Macross I'm watching right now. So to watch Yamato would be kind of... I don't know. I can't start a lot of series at once or else I don't. I've also got Godanner going as well. I think I just finished watching episode 6 or so. Or maybe it was episode 5. I think it's episode 6, and it's a really good series. I like it a lot, but I have to say, like, I'm getting tired of seeing fan service. Like, well, let me take that back. I don't mind it at all, actually, but just to the point when it gets a little bit unrealistic, like, when you got blimp boobs, like, aw, man, come on. It's like, I know you're trying to be funny, but, like, every character, every female character has them, and it's just kind of getting annoying. And especially when they try and draw, like, the nipple through the clothes or whatever. It's like, man, you're trying too hard. And yes, that was not a pun. Trying too hard, yeah. Haha. But yeah, so, you know, watching Godan or Macross 7, Slayers. You know, I just finished up Inuyasha. I'm going to finish up my run of Gundam MS 08 team or whatever. 8th team. Because I went through 3 episodes through that and never finished. So I'm getting kind of sick of, you know, starting a series and not finishing them. So I'm going to, you know, try and go back and finish stuff. I got to finish my Lupin the Third Green Jacket series there. Yeah. I've got some DVDs, I mean, I need to watch too. I've got Metropolis. I've got Godzilla Final Wars I need to finish. I got Memories. I have only one 45-minute block of Memories. And then I'll be set. But, like, for some odd reason, even though I prefer to pop the DVD in and watch it on my TV, it's just, like, because I have to pop the DVD in, I haven't, you know, watched it yet. So, yeah, go figure. Manga. I've been reading Berserk a lot. Let's see. I think I was on volume 25. I'm not quite sure, because it has been the better part of a week since I've actually read Berserk properly. But I'm pretty close to catching up. I'm only like 7 volumes there, you know, give or take. I could be closer. It's just, you know, after I read a volume, I don't put it away properly. So, you know, sometimes I get confused as to which one I'm reading. I could be closer. It could be 26 I'm reading right now. Not sure. I haven't been reading any other manga, really. I've been keeping up with Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece. And Bleach, I don't, like, there's no Jump this week, so there's, like, nothing new for me to really report. But, let's see. Maybe I can talk about last week. Last week, Ichigo was fighting with, for Bleach, let's start with Bleach. Ichigo was fighting Gin. And Gin finally unveiled his Bankai. And I have to say, I'm not completely impressed with it, but at the same time, it's not like I expected something huge anyway. And what I mean by that is, Gin's normal Shikai, his sword power, it stretches. And of course, it stays light, being a Zanpakuto and all that. Well, his Bankai, he can stretch it and shrink it super, super fast that not even like a Soul Reaper's eye can see. So it's, you know, faster than Chunpo, that sort of thing. And it stays light, and it can like go up to 3 kilometers or something. So if you think about it, it's really like a gun, you know, being able to shrink and, you know, super long, except, you know, instead of just being a bullet that, you know, it's only at one point, one place at a certain point in time. Now think of, you know, the bullet is at all places in its trajectory up to 3 kilometers at the same point in time. You know, that's pretty powerful. So yeah, Ichigo's fighting Gin, and Ishin has shown up to fight with Aizen. And Aizen is talking about the breakdown sphere, the Hangoku or something like that. The Hangoku, I forget what it's called. And he says that the Hangoku is not actually meant to to break the boundary of Soul Reaper and Hollow. It's meant to fulfill wishes. Like, when Rukia wanted to make a wish, she kind of wished in her heart that she could have what's his face back? The guy she liked that kind of looks like Ichigo, and thus Ichigo got Soul Reaper powers. You know, that's the explanation they gave anyway. And then Urahara, even though he created it, didn't understand the power. He thought it was, you know, the breakdown sphere between Hollows and Soul Reapers, and that's what he wanted it to be. So thus a bunch of Soul Reapers turned up being Hollows or vice versa, and thus the Arrancars and all that sort of thing. Well, now Aizen says, like, oh, I'm going to use it, but I'm not going to become a Hollow or something like that. And Gin's just saying this. So Gin's fighting Ichigo. I don't mean to jump all over the place here. Gin's fighting Ichigo, and Gin's like, oh crap, I guess this is as far as I can go with my Bankai. So that kind of says, yeah, he's in a Arrancar too. And, or maybe he's a Vizard. I don't know. I suppose it's possible. Technically, Tozen was a Vizard too, because he was a Soul Reaper first. But anyway, Gin's cooler than Tozen, so we don't have to worry about too much. But Aizen's getting ready to use it, and all of a sudden Urahara shows up, and like, everything that Aizen just basically explained about the Hangoku could be completely dashed away, because, I mean, it's Urahara, and because Urahara doesn't, I mean, the typical rule of manga is the less you show up, the more credible you are. So if Naruto, who's in the manga all the time, or most of the time, says, this is how things are, a character who doesn't show up as much can easily come and discredit him. That's just how manga works. Like, whenever Tobi shows up, whatever Tobi says is law. That's it. Because he's never in the manga. Well, he's very rarely in the manga. You know? So think of someone like in Bleach, Urahara, who almost never is in the manga. He shows up, he says something. That's damn law right there. That's the law of manga. The less you show up, the more credible you are. Which, for some of these shonen series, makes sense. I mean, if you're doing the stupid stuff all the time, how credible are you? So, I mean, I guess that works. But anyway, so I'm actually gearing up for Bleach, because Bleach is kind of like, the battles need, I mean, Kubo needs to learn better pacing for his manga, but right now it's kind of up on the upbeat pace, so I can't complain too much. I will probably complain again when it's going on, you know, this downbeat, very slow, methodical pacing that everyone hates. So until then, yeah, I'm enjoying it for now. Naruto, I don't even really remember Naruto is talking to Killer Bee or Hachibi or whatever. And, yeah, he's supposed to train him. And there's this magic waterfall that does stuff for you. Yeah. Waterfall. Magic. You know, that sounds like another Zelda reference. So, and then we got One Piece. And One Piece seems like, I don't know what to make of it, because it could go either way. Luffy's really, really pissed that Ace is dead. Oh, oops, spoilers. Not like you care. And, you know, I'm really not sure what to make of it, because it could really, I mean, this could really be a chance for Oda to do something great. At the same time, a lot of creators have gotten to a point like this and then just completely screwed everything over. So with that in mind, I have faith in Oda that, you know, that he'll be able to pull it off. Definitely, because he's done a lot of other stuff like that. But it's still a dangerous position. It's a very dangerous position, you know. It's a very big risk. And, you know, just like with all other very big risks, it either pays off just as big as it was a risk or breaks you. So, that's pretty much for the main, you know, three main series. I haven't been keeping up with any monthly stuff. I probably have another chapter of Claymore and some Soul Eater and Tegami Bachi I need to read. I need to get back on reading Bakuman and get caught up with Hunter x Hunter and stuff. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot that I've actually been reading and watching. I've been watching mainly, you know, Slayers and... Oh, I did watch Densha Otoko. That's taken up quite a bit of time because each of those episodes are slightly over an hour long, and it was amazing. I love Densha Otoko. In fact, that's kind of gotten me pumped up for some other dramas. Next, I'm going to be watching Stand Up, courtesy of Foxy Brown from the SSA podcast as well. So I'm going to check that one out. And I was thinking of watching some Sentai shows, and I'm just looking to get my hands on Go-Go Sentai Bokenger. So, yeah, we'll see what I have here. But right now, I'm kind of sticking on the anime scene, trying to get a series or two finished up. And as I mentioned, I am recording another podcast. This one's probably going to come out before the one I'm mentioning right now, so I feel safe talking about it. But I'm going to have a lot of guests on there. You know, and so I want you guys to look forward to that. And if you want me to ask any questions about or to the guests, of course, I don't know who the guests will be, and I don't want to make announcements and then like fail. But if you have any questions you want to ask me, or you want to ask anyone else who could possibly be on my show, send them in. Also, let's see, 3 Japan of Owl Productions. I'm planning on doing something there. Well, we got that Anime of the Year award show. We gotta re-record, and anime3000.com is getting a total overhaul, courtesy of Sean Russell, and I am doing a Battle of the Coma vid as we speak. It's been very uphill battle with this Battle of the Coma, and like it's just been crazy because with me trying to get my own stuff done, and then you know I'm working a new job now, I'm working for the census. Yeah, it's not the greatest job, but they pay pretty good. And I'm, you know, whatever. What else here? You know, in the regular stuff, school, trying to watch stuff, trying to make stuff, you know, some of the making kind of falls behind. So, you know, the Battle of the Coma, it took me forever to find a matchup because I kind of don't want to do same powers versus same powers anymore. I mean, I did smarts versus smarts, now I did ninja versus ninja. It's getting kind of old. So I'm thinking, let's try doing opposites here and see how that works out. So I got to think of some opposites or something of that nature. And I have an idea. I'm going to probably go with that. The first one I picked was Revy and Afro, because it's like Blade versus Gun, who would win. But Afro's really not much of an anime character. Yeah, he's from Afro Samurai, but... it's just not real anime. You know, yeah, I enjoyed it, and I don't mind watching it and saying, yeah, that's an anime, but at the same time, it's like, that's kind of like the outskirts of anime. I'd rather pick something a little bit more mainstream, more anime-ish than Afro Samurai, so I scrapped that idea, especially since it wasn't going to be a very good episode. I mainly picked that matchup because I had all the materials I need for it right then and there. So the matchup I'm doing now is probably going to be more manga-based, just kind of like the last episode was for Black Star versus Naruto. But I think this one, it's going to be very lighthearted. It's not going to be like the super, you know, I'm not going to upset any fans over it by any means. And I'm curious as to how many fans will actually be for on each side, if they're actually going to care when they watch this. Because that's the thing, if I have two characters fighting and you don't know one, you're only going to go for the guy you know. Typically speaking, of course. So, you know, I got to use mainstream characters. And that's the trick right there. But I'm going to be working with Spiral, who's also working on anime3000.com. I'm going to be working with him to produce a whole video event, a whole series of videos of Battle of the Coma, and hopefully I can kind of mentor him in the ways of audio and video manipulation. You know, the Force. Learn the Force, young Padawan. Yeah, that was a pretty failed Darth Vader voice, huh?
Only if you could do a good Darth Vader voice.
Now that sounds more like Shredder. Ah, jeez. I'm doing crappy today. But anyway, if he helps me with, or he's going to help me with this video, and it's going to be, you know, a combined effort, so that, you know, just think of how good my videos are. Now they're going to be even better with him on there. So, yeah, toot my own horn. But other than that, what else do I have? I do have my promo. I made a brand new promo, and unless you guys have heard it, because you're listening to the other podcasts that are hosting it, I'll play it again here at the end of the episode for you guys to listen. I'm tired of other anime podcasts being such a star fest.
My plan was perfect, but there was one thing I overlooked. One factor I failed to calculate. He's a dumbass.
I hate Narutards.
Oh my god, he's wet.
And I'm sick of the giant Moe monster wreaking havoc in my anime city. So what's my solution? Make a better podcast than everyone else. Well, at least I try anyway. Join me, Josh Dunham, as I talk about my ideas and opinions about current Japanese music, games, and anime. You can find my weekly podcast at www.animation.blogspot.com. That's A-N-I-M-E-S-H-O-N. I review the new shows and manga coming out of Japan, as well as ye olde goodies. So check me out. I'm only a Google search away at Animation, A-N-I-M-E-S-H-O-N. And, what else have I been working on? I got to do a promo for the three Japan Pop Productions, but you'll probably hear that. I'll probably do some, probably cross promote that, like put my promo in three Japan Pop Productions and put the 3JP production, 3JP promo in Animation. So yeah, whatever. There's one thing I forgot to mention though. I was rereading some Bleach the other day because I got the new Shonen Jump and I was checking through it and like, oh yeah, so where are they at in Bleach and Naruto? And while I was reading in Bleach, supposedly something was done to Orihime, and I think a lot of people have forgotten that something, quote-unquote, may have been done to Orihime. So she may have powers besides healing and crap, and she may show up and actually be an important character. So we'll see where that goes. Also, Ichigo's mother, I want to see how she plays into this, because there was a special guard or something, and the leader or the ruler of this guard was a female Soul Reaper. We don't know much about her, but she moved up to protect like the king of the Soul Society or something like that. And yeah, I think that might be Ichigo's mom, I'm not sure, but just in the way of, you know, in Bleach, I think something needs to be said about that. I think it's possible. I mean, Aizen's saying everything's been manipulated from the day, you know, the day you were born, I wouldn't be surprised. But at the same time, you know, Ishin is a Soul Reaper, so why couldn't his wife be? You know, it just seems a little silly not to be. And it also seems silly that, like, the Grand Fisher would kill someone who is so freaking powerful. You know, that's the only thing I'm going to say. Other than that, I guess I can only talk about, like, I'm replaying some of the Super Robot Wars games for the DS. Those have been pretty fun. Now, of course, I have an appreciation for more of the series in there. I kind of, like, okay, that's from this series, that's from that series. You know, so now it's not so much like, oh yeah, random robot, go die, and I power up one or two robots of a certain series, and that's that. Now I kind of understand where all of them are coming from. I've also been watching some StarCraft replays. I really like to do that. Those are fun. And playing some StarCraft as well. If any of you guys who are listening want to play me at some StarCraft, I'm not very good, but I'd be more than happy to play you a game or two or something like that. So hit me up. I've got my email and the RSS feed now on the site. I'm going to start maybe keeping things updated. Hopefully, you know, 3 Japan FL Productions needs a whole overhaul as well, because we've been gone since, well, minus the New Jabez episode. We've been gone for, since November, almost half a year, you know, so it's been a good half year before we released an episode, and we're not being consistent at all, mostly because, in all honesty, I run both of it. I do the editing for 3JP, so if I'm doing a lot of animation, I have to remember, oh, I gotta do 3JP, and now I gotta remember, oh yeah, I gotta do animation, Anime 3000, and now I gotta do another job, now I gotta do school, and now I gotta do, you know, it just gets really, really tricky. So, hopefully, much to my delight, it'd be great if I could get both podcasts running on a regular basis, even if it was only bi-weekly episodes. Because think about it this way, guys, if you're listening to this show, you're probably listening to me on 3 Japan FL Productions and vice versa. So if I do one episode here with animation, and then do one episode the next week with 3 Japan FL Productions, you know, the tricky part is getting all the 3JP together. That's the tricky part. And getting their parts. See, me right here, I'm sitting down, I record, and when I'm done recording, it's on my computer, I edit it right away, send it out, done. With 3JP, I gotta sit down, record, we gotta find the time for everyone to be on Skype. We gotta do technical issues before we start recording, you know, make sure everything's quiet and crap. And then when we're done, I have to get them to upload their parts, which takes a while. Then they have to send it to me, which I have to catch them again, which takes a while. And then I gotta grab it, which, you know, downloading a piece is like, I don't know, it takes half an hour, because, I mean, it's a WAV file, it's uncompressed audio, so it can get kind of big, and added with the fact that then I have to edit it and then post it again, you can see how it takes a couple days, unless I'm really, really pushing for it. So, anyway, it's not that I don't enjoy it, I really do, and that's the whole reason I'm doing it. It's just, It can get difficult sometimes to manage everything. It's like a juggling act. You drop one, you know, in order to make sure you're always juggling one ball, sometimes you drop another. And unfortunately, that's where I'm at right now. Maybe when I get done with school and I get, you know, a study job or something, then I can say, okay, now I just do what I need to do and there, you know. Right now, things aren't really steady because the census job is going to end in 8 weeks and I got school and crap all like that. So anyway, that's enough about me talking about juggling stuff. Check out that 3JP New Jabez episode, by the way, if you haven't already, because I think I did some really clever editing. In one part, we were talking about music the whole episode, and I really did like New Jabez, and I want you to get an appreciation for his music as well. So until then, cheers.
Let's go, yo! Trying to convince me that I'm running on empty, trying to convince themselves that the record with Jay was a fluke, that the record that I'm making is a mistake, and I can't take this. Let me tell you where I'm at with this. You bastards are gonna have to take back that shit. I'm not plastic and fake. When I make tracks, I take facts and lay them out for the masses. You assholes are gonna see soon that I'm not playing, and start asking me the names that I'm not saying. But I'm trying to be bigger than the bickering, bigger than the petty name calling, under the breath talking, rumors and labels and categorization. I'm like a struggling doctor, no patience. But you can say what you want about me, keep talking while I'm walking away.
You can say what you have to say, 'cause my mind's made up anyway. I'm taking the hard road, going above you. This is the last time that I'm gonna trust you. You can say what you have to say, 'cause my mind's made up anyway. All that bullshit.
me, take myself off safety, trying to make my friends turn their backs on the team we built, building up some mistaken information, and I can't take this. Let me spell it out plain for you. Angry groups complain about the things we do. I'm not changing direction, I'm stepping my game up, maintaining my name same way that I came up. You're gonna see that I'm not playing, and start asking me the names that I'm not saying. But I'm trying not to mention the names of people who wanna siphon attention. You like the hype, but pretending you're part of the picture won't pass. You're like a high school dropout, no class. And you can say what you want about me, keep talking while I'm walking away.
Bitch, you can say what you have to say, 'cause my mind's made up anyway. I'm taking the high.